Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche Podcast. We got AJ, we got Eric, we got Rudo coming to you live on an Avalanche off day where I want to talk about the playoff races in the NHL, not necessarily to make the playoffs, but for seeding and all of that, and the pressure on different teams from different areas to succeed and or potentially fail in those playoff races. Maybe the most interesting of which is the Philadelphia Flyers and what is happening to that hockey team post-trade deadline. Now, the Flyers deadline was not one of them going for it by any stretch of the imagination. Sure, they do go out and get Eric Johnson, but that was really a team that was selling at the deadline, the Sean Walker deal to the Avs, specifically their big selling point. But over the last 10 days, we've seen John Tortorella get kicked out of a hockey game, suspended for two games, and then he comes back and scratches his captain. This isn't normal, right? Like, what is happening in Philadelphia?
I mean, if there was one NHL head coach that you would have...
It'd be Torts.
You would have said, this person did these things in a short period of time. Definitely would have been John Tortorella, right? It's like John Tortorella, Patrick Waugh, and then a pick'em.
Accurate. I'd say that's a fair statement. And look, they scratch Sean Couturier, and they win that game. So maybe Torts is playing 6D chess here.
Here's what I'll say. I love Torts. I play for Torts. I think he's awesome. He's a good human being. But there's individuals in our game that they get to the rink and they're different. You know, he's a different person at the rink. When I say person, I shouldn't say that. Like, he's a different character, you know what I mean, at the rink than away from the rink. I'm just telling you right now, you guys would love him, for the record. I'm being honest. You guys would love him. Like, he's a... But then he gets there, and he's very stubborn, and he's very set in his ways. And that's, you know, that's might be why he's been around for so long, right? I mean, he's won a cup. I know it was a long time ago, but still, he's been around for a long time. And he does command some respect. My only thing with the Couturier thing is this is a guy that missed a lot of time, right, because of injuries last few years. And then he comes back. Then this is your captain. You name him captain. 34 days later, you know, he's a scratch when you're fighting for a playoff spot. I just feel that it's just a weird message to... I'm not saying Torts is sending a message. I'm saying it's a weird message, you know, to your fan base, to your team, to Couturier himself.
Sure seems like Torts is sending a message.
Well, that... You see what I'm saying? I just find it weird right there, right, you know, then again, and then bless you, and then he answers which I respect his answers. I'm not here to talk about Sean. This is between Sean and I, and I get it. Now, will he be back in Atlanta? For sure, you know, so, but then I get it. Coaches are there to go win one game at a time with 20 guys dressed, and he just felt that. He wasn't one of his 20. You know what I mean? And it's tough to swallow when you're the, when you're the captain of a franchise. It's tough to swallow when you're a veteran player. But to all fairness, he has not played well. He's got one goal his last 30 games. He's got like 1 point his last 10 games. You know, it's not pretty. So I can see it. And then on the flip side of it, you have to respect it too, that he doesn't give a shit who it is. You know what I mean? And that's kind of where I respect it. But do I find that weird and odd? Absolutely. I find that weird and odd. And it's a strange timing, too, to well, do that.
It's not just Couturier. He's healthy. Yeah, healthy scratch Cam Atkinson, too. So you're just, like, going through the veteran guys in that locker room, like, all right.
A couple of angles here. First, I'm afraid of what Eric's answer is here. But are we really saying Nick Deslauriers is a better hockey player than Sean Couturier?
No, don't be afraid of my answer. No, he's, and I know what he's saying. And, you know, he's going in, my 20 guys to go in the lineup. And Deslauriers brings something that Couturier doesn't bring. Deslauriers plays 5 minutes a night, 4 minutes a night, and then ends up fighting Reeves, right? You know,
does that really count as a fight?
Well, that was, he did close his eye out. Reeves' eye is shot. He has to leave the game. I mean, I'm just saying, like, but I know, don't be afraid of the answer, but I know what you're saying. I agree with you. But then is Sean Couturier really going to go play 4 minutes and be beneficial to you? Probably not, because I tell you one thing, it's so hard to play 4 minutes. I told you guys that before. Like, it's hard to play 4 minutes. But I understand your question, because it's a fair question, because it makes sense. It really does.
Yep.
And my answer doesn't make sense, but it's an answer. But you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm just telling you that's what it is, you know, but doesn't make it right, you know.
And you guys kind of already mentioned the other side of it. Atkinson, he's a guy at the end of his career. Things are winding down. Sometimes you got to bite that bullet. I understand that. It's the naming the guy captain a month ago to scratching him a month later that I don't understand how you traveled down the path that quickly.
In a playoff race.
Right. Why did you name him captain in the first place if you were 1 month away from scratching him?
Well, I just think they've had such an emphasis on culture, right? Like that's why they re-signed Nick Seeler right before the deadline is they love what he brings to the locker room. You know, they are going... They are balancing the current day competitiveness with their influx of youth, and they're trying to build a concept of how to do this the right way, what they think is the right way. And Torts has been about changing that culture since day one that he got into Philly. And certainly Briere and Jones seem to be on board with that vision. And so I think naming Couturier captain is about a long-term culture fit, and then scratching him a month later is just about sending the message to everybody else, to all the young guys, that nobody's immune. If you're not pulling your weight, we'll sit you. Doesn't matter who you are. And, you know, we talked about it earlier this year with a lot of Avs fans being like, oh, I think you should sit Mikko Rantanen for a game. And we were like, that's a ridiculous proposition because
he's playing way too well, regardless of how you feel
right,
about him.
Like, he has, on any given night, as we saw last night, he could not play particularly well and still go off and win you a hockey game. And
meanwhile, Sean Couturier has 1 point in 10 games.
Exactly. Like, Sean Couturier, it's like, hey, you know, I haven't looked... I would be willing to bet that there is some real statistical wonkiness there.
I would imagine so.
But you know, I bet there's a fun on ice save percentage where you're like, come on, this guy's so snake bit right now.
Yeah.
But I think the procession of events is more about, you know, naming him captain a month ago doesn't make him immune from accountability. And I think that's just the point being made in Philly right now, is this is about culture as much as anything else. They go out, they win the game. I would imagine that they're going to get a pretty good Sean Couturier game the next time he's in the lineup, which I assume is going to be in their next game.
Very soon,
I'm just assuming. But
whatever happened, you don't change the lineup, a winning lineup.
It's a little different, I think, in this case.
You don't, you know, you don't change a winning lineup.
Bednar won't even play a goalie who just pitched a shutout. So I think we're in a new era when it comes to that.
I know. But you're right about the culture. But when you think about it, that's why it makes it strange, because Torts was said it last week, like at the deadline, whatever it was. He says this is one of the best rooms he's been part of. Now, if you name Couturier captain, it's because you probably think he's pretty good about the culture, you know. Yeah. You know, and then, and that's what makes it even weirder. But you're right. Your point is, you know, it's, I think it's a flexing the muscle of saying like, hey, no, nobody's immune to this. You know what I mean? Like, and but it's, it just, but the timing is certainly, you know, frick, you have to say it, ballsy. I mean, you have to say
yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Kidding me? If Bednar scratched a healthy Gabe Landeskog in a stretch run, Avs fans would riot. I understand there's a little bit of a difference of Landeskog being a captain for a decade and Couturier being named 30 days ago.
That one guy on Twitter who, after every loss, blames Jared Bednar for everything.
I'd have an aneurysm that day. I think it's as much interesting because of the situation that Philadelphia is in, holding on to the third spot in their division in what has quickly becoming a very tight wild card race at the bottom of the East. It is a ballsy play. You scratch your captain, you win the game. You probably, I'm not going to say you secure a playoff spot, but you start to gain a little bit of separation there. As a hockey team that is probably going to sneak into the playoffs now. I don't know if I like the message that it sends as much as you guys do. I don't think you should be scratching your captain ever.
I don't know that I like it.
No, I'm not saying I like it either.
But I'm saying like...
Hey, I'd be pissed if it was me. I'm just being honest.
But it worked. It worked. So what do I know?
Yeah.
Less than John Tortorella, I guess. Weird. He's a weird coach. I don't know.
I love the man. I do.
Hey, if it works, it works. It's pretty easy to see with decisions like this why teams get tired of him after a couple of years, though.
Yeah, he's definitely a grinder. One of those guys that
he's hard.
After a couple of years, he's gonna wear you down to the nub, and it's just there's not gonna be a lot left.
Yeah,
but. Coming in at the phase that the organization was in when he got there.
Has, you know, pulled them up for sure.
Still does the mile run in training camp. And he's just like, you know, 30 years ago. I love it.
If it works, it works, yeah, I guess.
I love it.
On that note, if you have experienced something like a John Tortorella training camp, make sure you've got some Coors Light on hand to chill afterward. It's the beer made for chilling. I always enjoy one when I can get my hands on one for an Avs game or when I'm just relaxing at home doing whatever it is I might be doing. Obviously, life can get chaotic a lot of the time. Just ask Eric about his car. It's crazy out here.
God.
But when you need to relax for a moment, now that's where a Coors Light comes in. Any time of year, if you need to hit the reset button, reach for a Coors Light. Obviously brewed here in Golden, Colorado. A fantastic beer that you don't even have to go find. You can get it delivered right to your door when it comes to CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Go on there, let them know we sent you over there, and you can get a Coors Light six-pack delivered directly to you via Instacart. Jump on it. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer to reach for. So when you want to hit that reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with that CoorsLight.com/DNVR website. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And then also brought to you by the fantastic folks over at Circa Sportsbook. If you did not know, you can go jump on Circa Sportsbook right now and get in on all the action of March Madness with us. We are going crazy with the March Madness streams. We're going to have a bunch of super long watch-along streams making all sorts of crazy bets that started the other night with the CSU game, which was a hot basketball game of all time, for sure.
Just really drove home that Virginia shouldn't have been there in the first place.
No kidding, man. That team was bad.
Virginia Cavalier basketball, baby.
With that being said, you get a bad team, easy to make some bets against.
You should be betting against Kansas.
That's coming from AJ.
I've been saying this all year. You should be betting against them.
I'm clueless, man.
Heard it here first. Make sure you jump in at circusports.com. Download their sportsbook app today to get in on all the action on March Madness with us. Circus Sports bets can only be made while physically located in the state of Colorado. Must be 21 or older. All rights reserved. Circus Sports Colorado encourages you to gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER or visit problemgamblingcolorado.org. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We've had our talk about Philly. I want to get into the rest of the league. I want to get into these playoff pushes. You have Colorado, you have Dallas, you have Winnipeg battling for the top of the Central. You have Vancouver clinging to the top of the West, technically. You have a number of different wild card teams doing things. It's really not that close in the West, if I'm honest, even with Vegas struggling here and there.
Yeah, even with Vegas' struggles, they have a game in hand, and they have a 3-point lead on Minnesota and a 4-point lead on St. Louis. So, like, this really...
They would really have to throw.
Yeah, it would require a really big collapse for them to miss this postseason.
So let me ask you then. In the West, who's under the most pressure in this playoff race this year?
I'm always going to go with the defending champ. You know what I mean? That for me, I mean, you're defending the crown, you have to be taken seriously. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if you're the 8th seed or 7th seed or, you know, whatever they end up being, but no, if they're the 9th seed, then it's, you know, not good.
Yeah.
And that's not pressure. It's whoops.
You failed. You know, under, I mean, like, the
you
pressure.
Failed.
You're the 9th seed. Yeah.
See you in a year, suckers.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think right there is tough. And I think a team like the Avs is very simple. It's cup or bust. I mean, let's not kid ourselves, right? Like, I think especially after their deadline, they're really going for it. And then, you know, and if anything less than that will be disappointing.
Yeah.
You almost have to put Edmonton, at some point, you have to put Edmonton in the category of cup or bust. Like, with the best players in the, you know, like, again, some of the best players, you know, don't want to offend McKinnon fans, and, you know, but I'm saying McDavid and Dreisaitl, those are top end players, you know.
Yeah.
Now, we all know that, you know, the struggle and the net and all that kind of stuff. But what I'm saying is they do have a team that can make damage. And we saw it was a heck of a game against the Avs a couple days ago, right? So so I think they're facing some pressure. We're talking about in the West, right? I mean, so for me right there, there's some good teams. But I'm saying if you're asking me who's got the most pressure, I would say those three teams, if that makes sense.
I think Dallas has a sneaky amount of pressure on them. Just because their roster is in such an interesting situation. Like, they're not going to have Matt Duchene on $3 million. Joe Pavelski is... The decline has started, finally, for Joe Pavelski.
It only took 37 years.
Exactly. So, you know, and they have some really intriguing young players coming up for them as well. But every time that you don't win it is a lost opportunity at it, you know? And Colorado is kind of the same thing. You have a really big deadline, you go for it. Winnipeg has pressure because you're getting a tip-top, easy Vezina season out of Connor Hellebuyck. And
you got to live up to it.
Yeah, even if you move forward, you know, Hellebuyck should still be great over the next 5 years.
Yep.
But this caliber of play out of Connor Hellebuyck, I mean,
you never know how sustainable that truly is.
Exactly. And so I think those are the teams. I think the central teams are the ones that have the most pressure. I agree that Edmonton and Vegas are two teams that are staring down the barrel of, like, hey,
now or never type
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. You know, and it's LA's got, I think, a sneaky amount just because they've gone all in on this year's team. They skimped on goaltending so they could max out the rest of that roster. The Dubois thing has been an abject disaster. But
fired your coach. You know.
You fired your coach, and at some point you're going to stop getting really good play out of Anze Kopitar and Drew Doughty. what happens when you have to try and replace those guys?
So, I think LA is super fascinating as a team. Maybe not for today's show, but the comparison of the Avs, who have, over the last half decade, been a pretty thrifty team in net and found success, versus an LA team that has gone, forget thrifty, they're dumpster diving for goaltenders, essentially.
Yeah.
And it has not worked for them. So
it has not.
Great.
And a little bit more in the immediate. How much pressure is on Vancouver right now? A team that had been leading the West for more or less the entire year. They're not playing poorly. They're 6-2-2 in their last 10, but you have Winnipeg at 7-3 and the Avs at 9-1 in their last 10, all of a sudden breathing down their necks for the top spot in the West.
I think it introduces the element of doubt into Vancouver that they've had such a charmed season. Is it really going to run dry right now and going into the first round? And you
the
know,
worst time possible.
People like me have been sitting around going, we told y'all it was coming.
Not wrong.
And, you know, when you have seasons, when you get this kind of season out of Quinn Hughes is great. He's going to win the Norris this year.
Deservedly so.
Yeah. He's been that kind of player this year. He's been, I'm all for Quinn Hughes winning the Norris. He's been special. Same. It's hard to believe that Quinn Hughes, that this is going to suddenly be the new norm for Quinn Hughes. And that this is not a career year for the guy.
Yeah.
So you want to capitalize on those seasons when guys are playing that well. You know, the same way Colorado. Nathan MacKinnon might win the Hart this year.
All-time season.
You want to capitalize on that kind of year. You don't want to look back and be like, man, that guy had a great regular season and didn't do anything with it in the playoffs.
But as far as, like, expectations or pressure to win, like, I think Vancouver comes from, and I love talking footy, and they've been fantastic this year. And you're right. I mean, JT Miller and Pettersson and Quinn Hughes. I mean, they've had Demko. It's been outstanding, you know?
Yeah.
I just feel that them not making the playoffs like last couple of years, right? I mean, it's been a while. And then hitting the reset button and, you know, getting a new coaching staff and new front office staff, really, the last couple of years. And then I think if these guys do, you know, they win around or, you know what I mean? I think it will be a successful season, so to speak, right? Because I don't think a lot of people picked them to make the playoffs this year. I mean, and they've been good. I mean, they've been at the top of the league all year. It's not like they had a good stretch of 10 games. Like, you're going on at the end of the year, and they're still there at the top. Like, you know what I mean?
They've been great.
They've been awesome. So I think you win around, you learn. Like, kind of like the Avs maybe a couple years before they won it all. You know what I mean? So then I would classify that as a winning season, you know? So I think the pressure is not really there for them to win it all. I think it's there just to do well a little bit and then see where it takes them, you know?
It would be pretty disappointing for that fan base if they spend the entire year atop the Western Conference and talking all the shit that they've talked.
Potentially.
And then not get out of
the West. Yeah.
And then not get out of the first round. Like, I think
that'd be a tough look.
I think there's pressure to win a round. And then after that, everybody would be like, come on. If you told me at the beginning of the year they were going to do the second round, I would have been thrilled.
That's what I'm saying.
So I don't know that there's a lot of real pressure on the Canucks. Those guys that you mentioned are signed long term. They should have more kicks at the can.
Yeah. Outside of some of the moves like the Lindholm deal and things like that. But
yeah, which, you know, as Vegas has taught us.
Just go for it every year.
Yeah, you can always find the creativity to go and make big moves.
Just to get my little homer jab in, not to say that Quinn Hughes shouldn't win the Norris. I believe he absolutely should. He's been that good this year. Carr does have a better points per game rate than Quinn Hughes does. Just saying.
Kale's my guy.
He's pretty good.
On a year where we all feel like Kale's been pretty good for Kale.
Yeah.
So, Kale might have a couple more Norrises in the future. Quinn Hughes can have this one. We'll put it that way. We probably won't go quite as in-depth out east, but taking a look out east, you obviously have Boston and Florida in the battle. I guess New York you can throw in that conversation, too, in the battle for the President's Trophy. The rest of the East, as far as divisionally, isn't all that interesting. But then you have an absolute banger of a wild card race. Tampa probably starting to pull away a little bit for the first spot, but then you have Detroit, Washington, and New York all within 3 points. Buffalo and New Jersey sort of hanging around a little bit further behind that.
Because everybody else is losing. It's crazy. Yeah.
New Jersey actively played themselves out of a playoff spot for the last 2 months.
Detroit Islanders. I mean, those guys are like...
So that's my question is the pressure getting to these teams? Are these teams cracking? And who's under the most pressure in the East?
I think Pittsburgh's probably, we talk about pressure, you're getting an awesome season out of Sidney Crosby, and you may not even make the postseason. Yeah. Your head coach is on his way to getting fired. Your front office went for it.
And you're starting to have the conversation of how many years left of Crosby do they really have?
Yeah. The same way that Washington's having the same conversation about Ovi, but they've already started that transition.
The only thing left for Ovi is getting 893 goals exactly and then riding off into the sunset.
Right. Like the goals chase for him is still there. And the Caps front office has already started the youth infusion around him.
Yep.
So it's like John Carlson's like his last
old guy buddy.
Yeah, like longtime running partner.
Yep.
I don't think that the East, though, I mean, none of those teams are playing well.
I agree.
You know, Detroit has been awful. They've lost just been
like 8 delightful. Of the last 10, I think. Yeah. Yeah,
delightful to watch for me personally. You know, New Jersey's finally getting decent goaltending, and it still can't win games consistently. So I just don't know. These teams are all just so mediocre. You know, but Buffalo is like
predictably meh.
Yeah, like now they're going to turn it on because the pressure's kind of not there.
Yeah, they it felt like they already cracked under the pressure, and now they're just a team with nothing to play for them. And not that that's true. Like, there is a world where they could get back to the playoffs. It just feels like
they're just
they couldn't handle it in the moment.
I mean, Islanders go and win 5 games, then they lose 6. You know what I mean? Yeah. Then they win 4, they lose 3. You know, it's kind
of... The Islanders are like the face of mediocrity right now. Like, on any given day, they play their absolute best, they can beat you. On any given day, they don't play very well, you can have an easy night against them. There's a huge in-between where they're okay. Yeah. And that's... How do you feel any... How do you feel any good? Any kind of good feelings about any of those teams? Every single one of them has given you extended stretches of bad enough hockey to be like, I'm not going to believe in them.
I think Washington came out of the blue, kind of. I mean, I had written them off.
A month ago, it felt like they were pretty done. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
They get this hot run out of Charlie Lindgren, which they got earlier in the year as well. And built around those hot runs of goaltending, you have the rest of their season where they just haven't been very good.
Yep.
Agree.
You know, and with 13 games left, that's enough time for it to be like...
Could just be bad again.
Yeah, exactly. You could just wake up one day and they're just not very good.
Yep.
I just don't think that they are... I don't trust any of these teams. I don't trust any of them. Somebody's going to get in the postseason... And if they end up with Boston in the first round, I mean, Boston just keeps humming right along. They had a lull, which was just nice to see because it had been so rare.
They're human after all. Man, they have 15 overtime losses. That's crazy, Boston.
Like, but I don't even feel like, oh, if you get Boston in the first round, Boston's just going to run over whoever sneaks into that eighth spot. Because I think Boston is
a flawed
overrated.
Hockey team. Yeah, I agree. I think they probably still win their first round series if they're the one seed, but
I don't have any confidence in that. I feel like the two teams out east that I take really seriously as teams that I guess scare me are Florida and the Rangers.
Okay. No thoughts, Carolina there?
Carolina, I just don't know how to feel about them. Like Carolina, I feel the way that I do about Edmonton.
I think that's fair.
Like
Two very different paths to how they got there, but I get what you're saying.
They're such the same product that they have been for so many years now.
Yeah.
That
I forget about them.
How do you...
That's unreal. I swear, I don't want to cut you off. I forget about Carolina.
Yeah.
I do. Because they're supposed to be good, but they never really pans out, you know? But go ahead.
Yeah, I just don't... With Carolina, it's like they could do it. And if they finally break through, they're a huge problem.
Yeah.
And that's... Okay. I also think people hand wave Carolina way too easily because it's like this is a team that consistently gets into the second round and has had some of
conference finals
and has had horrible injury luck at goaltender specifically.
I was gonna say the quiet part of Carolina is in the last month they got Freddie Anderson back.
Yeah,
and if he can stay healthy, maybe you start having a conversation. But I wanted to bring him up, but I'm with you. Florida is the team for me.
Yeah, Florida's the one that right now you just look at and you go, they're really well built. They're playing really good hockey. I don't know how you just don't feel like, yeah, that team is legit out there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Carolina's like a... I'll just say, it would not surprise me at all if Carolina broke through.
Sure.
And it would not surprise me at all if they lost in the first round.
Also true.
They're just that team that in a 7-game series. I get it.
Eric, as a player, of course you want to win every game. You always want to make the playoffs, all of that. But if you're working in the front office for a team like the Islanders, for a team like Washington, for a team like Buffalo or Detroit, is there any conversations about saying, hey, would it not be better for the organization long term to miss to get a higher draft pick?
It's so hard because, first of all, your competitive juices are flowing. You want to win all the time, and it's hard to go in there saying, like, oh, we're not going to win. And then your fan base is spending money, and unless you've been really upfront with them and say, hey, listen, this is going to be disastrous. We're going to really strip it down, you know.
Unless you're Chicago.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's hard because you're like, part of you thinks if you get in, you can go. You know what I mean? And I think that's just the nature of the beast. You know what I mean? Because that's you're in there, you play there. It's the best of the best. I mean, you just feel that you have a slim chance. You know what I mean? To make it. So that's why it's tough to just kind of let go. But yeah, I mean, I don't think you should intentionally lose or, you know, strip your team or I don't think if teams are that bad, I don't think it was intentionally done. I think it's just like maybe some poor decisions.
When every one of those teams started the year believing they were going to end up in the postseason one way or another. So
was the next step for whatever.
Yeah. That they have to go for it. Out West, you could look at like the one team that you would have that conversation about would be like Nashville.
Yeah.
And look at them right now. They can't lose. It's crazy.
Yep. They're locked into that wild card spot at this point.
Like, you should definitely.
A month ago, I would have told you not a chance.
You should definitely have your best stretch of the season right before the postseason starts. So,
yep.
They're going to be everybody's like favorite upset pick, and they're going to get rolled.
Smoked in round one.
Yeah, they're going to get rolled, and it's going to be like the other 60 games of the season also matter. You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, consistency matters.
Well, I don't know who's going to eat in the playoffs, but I know I'm going to go to Circle K after this podcast so I can go grab myself some snacks.
Corn nuts.
Corn nuts are a great choice. You cannot go wrong with corn nuts. Become a Circle K Inner Circle Rewards member today with that QR code on screen or go to CircleK.com/innercircle today. It's a completely free membership. It gets you 25 cents off a gallon in your first 5 fill-ups of gas. It gets you 5 free Polar Pops. And every 6th item free on a bunch of different items from pizza, roller grills, dispense beverages, donuts, and more. It's a great deal every single time to get with Circle K. A bunch of amazing game day snacks. You can even get a free any size Polar Pop from Circle K by texting DNVR to 31310. That's DNVR to 31310 today. Message and data rates may apply. Periodic recurring messages per month. Terms and conditions can be viewed at CircleK.com. Sign up with the QR code or visit CircleK.com/innercircle for more information. And once you've got your game day snacks, the game day can actually be for you. You don't have to necessarily watch sports. You can go join Volo Sports today. The modern day sport and social club for only $20 a month. It's a great way to meet new people and get active and play games in the city. You have unlimited access to pickups, drop-ins, and all sorts of other tournament events when it comes to Volo Sports, including a bunch of league discounts if you're trying to get into leagues. Great place to just go have some fun, enjoy some sports with a bunch of awesome people. I know the DNVR crew is starting a bowling league up that they're going to be doing. You can sign up today on the Volo app using code DNVR3 to get the Volo Pass for only $10 a month for the first 3 months. So it's a great deal. Go out there and try Volo Sports today. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. With all of these organizations, of course, there's always some level of pressure to succeed, right? That's the whole point of the sport.
Yeah. For some of them.
Well, some of them are just inept, I think, more than anything. But
what's up, San Jose?
They got close once upon a time.
Yeah.
Not that close, but close. When you look at a 32-team NHL league, the NHL often gets talked about as the league with the most parity of the major sports. Some of that due to randomness or whatever you want to call it. Is that a good thing? Is parity objectively good? Is it better to have more dynastic things going on like we've seen in the NBA? And to be fair, Chicago's reign in the NHL wasn't that long ago. But we haven't really seen a true dynasty-level team emerge from the NHL in the modern era.
Yeah, I think parity is healthy just because fan bases stay engaged and people care.
Sure.
I think when you get to 32 teams, talent is so diluted.
It's hard to.
Yeah, that it's hard. It's really hard to have more than a couple of star level players, and then you have to be really good at roster building. You have to make a lot of decisions from there. And I think maybe more than any of the other sports, you have to get the injury luck. I think baseball is actually, just statistically speaking, I think it's got the highest level of parity, which is funny because people always talk about it like, oh, you can just buy a championship. And that's not how baseball has worked.
You could definitely buy the playoffs in baseball, but exactly. You can't buy a championship.
Definitely buy a playoff team, yeah. Unless you're the San Diego Padres.
That's a Padre thing, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's a specific organization that is cursed. But I think parity is healthy. But also, I do think that there's something to be said about dynasties, you know, kind of maybe not like one team being a dynasty, but, you know, two or three teams dominating an era. Mm-hmm. You look at Avs 1.0, yeah. Colorado, Detroit, New Jersey.
There were three teams that really owned the league. You had one
Dallas snuck in there but for a couple of years. Yeah. You know, and we're involved, but really it was those three teams that dominated that era. And in the 2010s, you had L.A.
and Chicago.
Chicago and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Those were the teams that really kind of drove that era.
Yep.
And recently it's been Tampa Bay and a bunch of one-offs.
Colorado and Vegas kind of vying to get that second one.
Yeah, exactly. But it's been Tampa Bay and a bunch of, is there going to be another team that steps into that?
Yeah.
Especially with Tampa Bay now on the decline, who's ready to step into that void? Or is this going to be the league expanded to the perfect number to get a different champion every year? And we end up with no dynasties. And is that fun?
Have to wait and see, maybe.
Yeah. So Nuggets fans are hoping that there's a dynasty forming in Denver in the NBA.
Also super common in the NBA to end up with dynasties.
Yeah, because you define eras in the NBA by, oh, this was the Shaq and Kobe Laker era.
Yeah,
This is the Tim Duncan Spur era. This is the LeBron
mega team era.
He was on a couple of teams. Yeah. So
you had the,
like the LeBron the Heat era.
LeBron, then you had the Kevin Love and Cavaliers LeBron.
Yeah. Well, and the Steph Curry Warriors. Like, there's Splash like eras.
Yep.
Are kind of defined by a handful of teams. Right now in the NHL, you don't have that.
Yep.
You have the Tampa Bay Lightning. The 2020 started with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yep. Back-to-backs.
Yep.
And what's going to come next, if the Avs are get another one, they become that team.
Same is true of Vegas.
Vegas gets another one, they become that team for sure. So that's kind of the fight right now is who's going to separate the salary cap rules and the aggressive expansion draft happening twice within a couple of years. All that trickle down effect of roster dilution has taken place.
Eric, but those days are done. Meaning, like, I think the days are done. I agree. You know, New York Islanders for me was probably. I mean, and the Oilers, so to speak, but Islanders four in a row, and then the fifth one that they go to the finals, they lose.
You'll never see that again.
That's the only thing.
I think that's good for the sport to never see that again.
Yeah, that's. And the only thing I can compare it to now is maybe Pat Maroon. You know what I mean? Individually, he's been there four in a row. That's crazy.
Good for him.
Was it five in a row? Four in a row?
I think it was four.
It was four in a row, lost the fourth one. Yeah.
Corey Perry's curse of losing them is stronger than Pat Maroon's winning.
But I'm going to reverse it on you before you ask me a question. I'll ask you a question like both of you. How many teams do you think this year going into the season legitimately, we all think we can win, but legitimately thought they could win it all this year? It could be like
maybe five.
Could be, it doesn't matter, like East or West. I'm saying like total teams.
Like actually truly believe they could win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, we should win it all.
Maybe five.
Yeah, I think there's, I would say between five and eight.
Yeah.
Go walk into the year thinking, if this really breaks our way, we have a chance to be there at the end.
I agree. I mean,
Colorado, I would say Vegas, Florida, all for sure.
Edmonton
for sure.
I think Dallas puts themselves
Boston,
in there.
Boston.
I think Dallas.
Dallas for
I
sure.
I don't know how to feel about Boston. Did Boston think it was going to be this good with that center depth?
They certainly believed in their goaltending. I'll put it that way.
I mean, they got the freaking best record in the history of the league last year, and then this year they're having a down year, and they're still freaking right there.
They're number one in the NHL.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's crazy, you got to think you're decent,
you get outside of those teams and, like,
If you try,
you could talk yourself into it.
Like Toronto, you don't think they can win?
Yeah, I think Toronto and Winnipeg are kind of in the same boat.
Hope and think are different.
If if these things break right for us, we can be there.
Yeah. Okay. I
think that's fair.
I think it's a fair question. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's a fun question. Like,
I wonder if LA thought they were there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know.
I don't want to expose your age here, Eric.
Yeah, the Rangers definitely think that they are one of those teams. Yeah.
Rangers for sure. Devils, I'm not as convinced. I think they thought they were much more on the up than they ended up being this season. I don't know if they thought they could truly win a cup this year.
Yeah, they did not make the second round last year and think they were going to miss this season and maybe miss by
a wide margin.
maybe with four teams in between them and the last playoff spot. They didn't think that was coming.
Yeah. Eric.
It's not. They're still going to make it.
Were you alive when there were 12 teams in the NHL?
Oh, shit. What year was that?
Up to like 15, 16, 17 by then?
I'm born in 71, so.
So you were probably theoretically alive at least.
Yeah.
Theoretically alive?
What expansion is the Flyers? Was it 69?
I don't know, man.
I only know
Buffalo,
they went to 12
Flyers,
in 67. That's all
Kings.
I know.
Those are all like the late 60s, right?
Anyway, you were in an era, you grew up in an era with much fewer NHL teams.
Yes.
I know it's impossible to compare eras fairly, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Smaller NHL or bigger NHL? Which one is better?
Well, part of me, like, you know, you like the smaller. I mean, the talent, AJ said it earlier, like, talent wasn't as diluted. then I played in a narrow where there was like 20-some teams, whatever it was. So maybe if they were still at 11 teams, I wouldn't have made it. So then you're like, okay, well, I like the fact that they expanded, you know. So now it's the same thing, up to 32 teams. But more people play the sport.
By a wide margin.
So, so does that margin balance the different? Probably. The technology is so much better. Guys are so much better now. They're so much more talented. Like, it's scary. They're better athletes, you know. So, yeah, I think the pool to choose from, it's a worldwide sport, right? We all know that a lot of Europeans and in our league, which is good, you know what I mean? But then when I started, it wasn't a lot of Europeans, you know. And then Jager got drafted, same draft year as me. And then all of a sudden you're like, you know, there's a lot more Czechs and Swedes and, you know, where now on the roster you have probably half European guys on average on a roster and half North American guys, right? I mean, I would think, give and take.
I think it's a little more North American than. It was like 3 or 4 or 5 years ago that it finally became less than half the league was Canadian. And then you have
USA. Yeah, well, because of USA hockey with Miracle on Ice and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot more people.
But for sure, your point is true.
But you know, to go back, I mean, lesser NHL. I mean, easier. Again, now you have these things to follow all the teams. Back then, we had the newspaper to, you know, to follow, and guys didn't really.
It was like Hockey Night in Canada, and then.
A weekly type thing.
Yeah. Now you can watch the NHL 7 days a week.
Well, in Europe, like, you know, like, I remember Peter Budaj telling me, because that's why, like. Anyway, Boots came in. That's when I retired, and then I started working with the team. And then, and he told me one day, he's like, "No, we had like one game a month, and the game that they had that month was the game I had a hat trick against the Edmonton Oilers." And he's like, "Oh my God!" And then he thought I was a goal scorer. Like, he really thought so. He thought I had like 400 goals in my career. I'm like, buddy, it was just a career game. Relax, you know. So, but it's funny because it was just be on replay and replay for a month that same game in Checo. You know what I mean? So, so they didn't really know the league. They didn't know the guys. You know, these things nowadays are pretty special to be able to follow this league worldwide. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's pretty awesome.
Any team, anywhere nowadays. Before we get into our last topic here, I suppose, let's do this. Consider supporting us. I already mentioned all of the watch-alongs we're going to be doing for the bracket for March Madness. Get those in. You can do that from our website. We're sponsored with Illegal Pete's to go jump on that. But we also have a bunch of other events and stuff on the way, too. A bunch of content getting created that will be for our diehards only. Consider supporting DNVR and becoming a diehard today. Get access to that exclusive content. Get discounts at the DNVR locker. You get a free shirt that comes with your diehard subscription. You get discounts here at the bar. You get access to our Discord server. A whole bunch of other stuff as well. So, you know, it also supports us, which is kind of a big deal. We do like our jobs, and we appreciate all y'all for supporting us. If you want to do that, consider becoming a DNVR diehard today. And then, if you want to have a good night out on the town, hit up Infinity Park in Glendale. Go catch yourself an American... What was that? American Raptors game. Fantastic building, by the way. Great place to just go hang out. They have like a full-on arcade at the park. You can go have a great time.
Love a good arcade.
Tell me about it, dog. Get lost in one for a while. But of course you can get an American Raptors game in as well. Tickets are just $10 and kids under 12 get in for free. So go check it out. The American Raptors are playing a long little homestand that just kicked off earlier this week. If you want to learn more about rugby, you can follow the DNVR Rugby Podcast. Our guy Colton Strickler does a great job on there, not only giving 101 pods to learn the game, but also getting a bunch of amazing interviews with all sorts of players all over the world of rugby. Head to AmericanRaptors.com today to get your tickets and visit Rugby Town USA. All right. Final thing we wanted to touch on a little bit. General managers meetings going on in the NHL right now. Eric, you seem like you think they're dumb and don't care about them at all.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think they just reach sometimes for so many things that are, like, dumb. I don't know. You can't stand on the boards or, you know, like, I guess effective immediately now. And it's such a big deal. Like, when they say sit on the boards, oh my, guys usually get out of the way. There was an incident last year, whatever it was. Okay, great, awesome. I mean, really? So you have to make a rule on. So now they're going to be sticklers about that. Now what it does is, and trust me, I have a lot of respect for officials, so it's not. But now it's going to be like, oh, one more thing to worry about. Oh, you can't be sitting there. You know, worry about the offside and worry about, you know what I mean? No, let's not worry about if a guy's sitting on.
Yeah.
And again, if a guy's got his feet over on the other side, I get it. That shouldn't be allowed. But when a guy's sitting ready to go, I mean, those guys are pros. I mean, they're.
Yeah.
The odds are, like, even if you're sitting on the bench and jumping, you might run into the official, too. I mean, it's a fast game. There's not a lot of room out there. So that's what I mean by dumb. And again, I know a lot of people were talking about, oh, they're going to fix this, you know, LTIR, and it's a CBA issue. There's nothing to be fixed. There's nothing you can do about it. So it's not for the general managers or the competition committee to deal with. So it's a dead issue, meaning, like, it's a CBA issue. You're not going to fix that at the GM meetings. And I know that they brought up the 3-on-3 overtime, can't go back. That didn't get any traction. It got shut down right away. Like, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, like, it's pretty cool when they go back and, you know, then they get the
people that, oh, they've coached out the fun out of the 3-on-3. It's just not true.
I think it's pretty fun. I don't think it's hockey.
There are a couple of overtimes that have been slogs, and they have not been interesting. But the majority of them, we've seen a bunch of them with the Avs this year.
Hey, just watch a team that's dumb in 3-on-3, and it'll be fun still.
And then there was...
that Edmonton-Colorado overtime was...
Absolute it
was
a banger.
Banger of an absolute overtime, banger. Man.
They were talking about if the goalie loses his mask, then the play's blown dead. Then, you know,
you get an Ozone face.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, fine, because you can see they lose it easily. The one
that I think could be concerning for fans is more coaches' challenges. Expanding that to potential penalty calls, and specifically high sticking and delay of games.
Yeah, and they said
puck in the stands. Yeah,
they said that the delay of game. First of all, delay of game shouldn't be a penalty.
We've had this conversation a million times.
But,
buddy,
they said that there were 6 calls missed last year.
Out of 800 games or whatever it is.
Yeah, out of however many games get played.
It's way more than that. It's
more than
2,000 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they said that there were 6 calls missed last year and 6 calls missed the year before that on delay of games. And I'm like, are you guys doing this just because so you could say you did something?
Yeah. That's what I mean. They're digging. They're looking for something.
This just isn't a problem for me.
Me neither. I think, again,
that changing the challenging rules on it
just don't matter that much.
It shouldn't, but you might end up with.
And now if you end up with a 10-minute review on a effing delay of game that doesn't matter at all, it's like, what the hell are we doing?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's all. That's my worry about that one.
It is what it is. I think it's just way overthought, the process of. Game's beautiful right now. Like I said, you guys know I'm pissed that the red line's gone. So, still mad.
It's your worst opinion.
It's a bad one.
No,
it's
because I'm a slow player back then. It helped me. Now they took away that red line. It's like, whoa, I can't play anymore. You know?
You'd be fine, bud. You just water ski even further through the neutral zone.
Well, you can't anymore.
I know. It wasn't the getting rid of the red line that stopped you from being able to do that.
Shoot. Thought I was decent.
Bless you. Relatable.
There's one person on this podcast who has a hat trick in the NHL, so you might be all right.
Tiff, she sneezed 3 times.
Yeah. not a hat trick, but we do have one super chat here.
I actually have a question.
Oh, sure. Fire away. Tiff has a question, apparently.
That's a legal standpoint.
Yeah.
They can't say that because if anything that they say...
Many, 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 many lawsuits very, very quickly.
Anything that they say might come back and hurt them if they get sued. So they're never going to say anything other than that.
Yep. Yeah.
That's all that is.
Not the topic for today, but every major sports league has interesting stances on things like CTE. I'll put it that way. And then our one super chat is $5 from Ryan, who says, seeing that Madonna statue, how do we get a Sakic one at Ball already? Can Eric nudge some Kroenke contacts? Can the DNVR crew make an online petition? If it were up to me, there'd be one, man. I don't know.
Buddy, there'd be a few for me, yeah.
I've petitioned for the Garden of the Gods at Ball Arena.
Sakic Forsberg Waugh. McKinnon soon,
yeah. Jokic, McKinnon. Yeah. McCarr, maybe Murray.
Down the line, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm here for it.
I think it's a great nod, especially to you have an actual Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs. It's got a good little flair to it. It's not to take away from it, but it is a celebration of the greatness that has come through Ball Arena.
I'd be down to push for it, absolutely. I mean, that's, for me, there's a history now. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm.
Make sure the statues actually look good and not like that one of Ronaldo.
Or, I mean, even the Madonna one, all that green shit on it.
Yeah, oh, I didn't see it. I mean, I'm a fan of Mike Madonna, but I didn't see the statue. I mean, I knew they did a statue a couple days ago, but I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Design is them it well, bad? Yeah. Put it that way.
Yeah, it looks ugly. Or don't do like the Kobe statue and misspell a bunch of things.
Oops.
Yikes.
Yeah.
On that note, be sure you tune in tomorrow's show. We're having our old friend Evan Rowell come on, talk some Nikolai Kovalenko with us. Should be a fun one. I know lots and lots of people have been asking a ton about Kovalenko. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
A year of stalking Kovalenko pays off for all Evan.
Yep. So that should be fun. That's all I had for today's show. Any final thoughts from you two?
Yeah, I'm going to go home and go back to bed.
Yeah, feel better, buddy. Knee feeling good, at least?
The knee feels great.
Good.
Modern medicine is amazing, and I much better understand the steroid era in baseball. Let all those guys in the Hall of Fame. I get it.
AJ's on the gear, confirmed.
Yep. I totally get it. I get it. It sounds awesome.
All right. You good?
Yep.
We're out of here. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in for this off-day show. We will be back tomorrow with Evan. We appreciate y'all, and we will talk to you on the next one.
We all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Ulmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.